Need a website that drives real results? AmericanEagle.com delivers end-to-end digital solutions, from expert web design and development to performance-driven digital marketing. Visit AmericanEagle.com today to get started with your digital transformation.
Richard Roper joins us now. A lot to talk about this morning, and it's all sad and bad. First, regarding the coverage of the Charlie Kirk murder, Richard, I noticed the networks have run the video of the shooting, but they stop it, they freeze it at the moment, second before the shot, but not so on social media, is it?
Yeah, Bob, of course, you go back. I'm sure you had discussions when you were at West 57th or different news organizations, what's going to be shown and what's, because the footage has always been available. And in the case, one of the local news channels yesterday, there were three different stories yesterday where they either stopped the video. In the case of the Charlie Kirk assassination, the horrific murder of Charlie Kirk, and then two local incidents, one a crime on the, you know, at a bus stop, and another attack in a store, and they blur the video. Mm-hmm. And they also say often on the news, you know, what you're about to see, you know, could be too intense for some views. You get some warning when you're watching on your couch in the old-fashioned media, but the reality is in today's world, if anything happens, there's going to be people there with phones, and people are going to post it immediately without filter. So now you, as the consumer of social media, of media, it's your choice, you know, but sometimes you're just scrolling through something and it comes through. But a lot of times it's like, click on this. And so the video's out there. If you want to see it, it's up to you. But it's just, it's a different world now where there isn't that filter. That, you know, and some people might say that's a good thing. I say it's, you know, it's your choice if you want to see the more graphic violence.
A different world, for sure. And I think it's good to remember, as we hear all the commentary about this, that most people are not deranged criminals. And, you know, you hear a lot about, what do you hear mostly? That it's a turning point. You know, I wish it were a turning point. Yeah. Sadly, we've heard that before after deadly shootings. And I heard one commentator say, they are at war with us. And that depressed me.
You know, unfortunately, you get a lot of that from both sides, where people immediately say, how do I seize on this moment to further my agenda? Or to say, I've got the receipts. Here's what Charlie Kirk said about this. Here's what he said about that. You have the right to do that. But in this time, in this immediate aftermath, to me, it's like when you see a lot of politicians and a lot of activists on both sides saying, you know, this is horrific. This was a young man. He had a wife. He had two children. We have time to debate what he said and what the ramifications are. Nobody deserves that in this country or anywhere. And the other thing, Bob, that I always say to people, and I saw, because there's a lot of people who might have a pretty substantial following. There might not necessarily be political figures or in the media. And, you know, I saw somebody on Twitter say, you know, a lot of these conversations should probably be just a text thread with your friends. Maybe this isn't something. And what I always say to folks, and I say this to young people in the media as well, is like, as far as personal opinion goes, you're never going to lose your job or become estranged from your family from something you didn't post on Facebook,
exactly.
Something you didn't post on Twitter. So take that moment, too, and think about how this is going to reflect upon you and your reputation and who you are as a person.
Tone is so important right now, especially in the immediate aftermath of a tragedy like this. And talk about what happened on MSNBC.
Yeah, one of the MSNBC commentators, and I'm not going to repeat everything that was said because this is exactly the kind of problem you were just talking about, Bob, but they lost their job within a couple of hours, because, again, we always talk about free speech, but there's consequences. You can say what you want, but if you're working for a company and you say something on Facebook that doesn't represent their ideas and beliefs, if you're in the parking lot of a Target and you're saying things and then you get identified, because you will get identified, anything like that, you have to understand, yes, there's free speech, and I'm all for it, as you know. Obviously, I've built my career on that. But there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that free speech.
Yeah, I hate hearing Charlie Kirk as a casualty of war. That's exactly the kind of rhetoric that needs to be toned down, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, anybody saying we're at war, when they're saying that, they're saying this is a civil war. And I don't see how that helps at all in any fashion.
And you hear a lot of well-meaning people say,
yes,
there's no place in our country for political violence. But doesn't that seem, at least for the moment, as empty as thoughts and prayers?
Unfortunately, I mean, as this was happening, as you know, we had another school shooting news unfolding. And when I say another school shooting, you now see children in interviews saying, well, they don't say anymore, we never thought this would happen to us, because they're not brought up in that world anymore. They think there's a possibility it could happen. There's drills and there's discussions. And one young kid, he had just moved to that school, and he goes, I didn't think this would happen yet. Yes. Yeah,
a terrible sign of our times is this story is overlooked a lot today. The student who opened fire Wednesday at Evergreen High School, injuring two other students, died Wednesday night of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. One student remaining in critical condition, another with non-life-threatening injuries. And the sheriff there said the shooter was a 16-year-old male. You've got that story, and also the anniversary of 9/11 kind of relegated to page two today.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about this, too, because I always find it fascinating how our culture is fascinated with round numbers, the decimal system and everything, and we are. So you know next year, for the 25th anniversary of 9/11, we'll have so many more, you know, memorial services and television specials and looks back. It's interesting, though, to me, historically, Bob, because I looking this up and I was like, has this always been a thing? And it really hasn't. In the 16th century, you probably didn't even know what your birth date was and when your country was founded. You were a subject of the king or whatever the case may be. But a lot of it started happening in the 19th century, and you're probably not going to be surprised to hear this, the dawn of the new media, newspapers. So we had a lot of, you know, celebrations. It would be World's Fair commemorating, then the 50th anniversary of the World's Fair. And then through the 20th centuries, newspapers and you know, Life magazine, for example, they found that this was a great hook to do the round anniversaries of wars, of the end of wars, of great moments in history. And now you see it all the time. But a lot of it has to do, you know, was kind of fueled by the fact that this really sells, to say it's the 25th anniversary. Remember the bicentennial in 1976? And every fire hydrant was painted red, white, and blue. And there were all these, and nothing wrong with it. But all of a sudden, that became a huge thing. Hey, it's been 200 years, so we're going to get that again in 2026,
yeah,
right?
250. Yeah,
good math.
Yeah, and in the wake of 9/11, of course, we all were changed forever. And in your world of movies, many were delayed, changed, or canceled altogether, weren't they?
Yeah, you know, obviously this is a minor, you know, sidebar story, but I do remember at the time. Remember, there was a Spider-Man poster where the reflection of the Twin Towers were in Spider-Man's kind of goggles, and obviously they pulled that poster. There was a movie that was going to be coming out, was going to be made, where Jackie Chan played a window washer at the Twin Towers, and they scrapped it.
Right.
And there were a lot of changes also done. If you watch old TV shows, classics now, where they changed the credits for The Sopranos, for example, because you saw the Twin Towers, Sex in the City. And, you know, you got to remember, too, in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, that was a way of saying that your show or your TV series was modern, because the Twin Towers had been around since the early 70s, right? So there were a lot of changes made. A lot of movies were delayed because of plots about bombs and terrorists, and a lot of sensitivity that lasted maybe a year or so, and it was rightfully done, and then we kind of went back. I remember there was a great thing. Cameron Crowe did a movie called Vanilla Sky, and it had this kind of alternate future scene where the Twin Towers were up, and people were saying, why didn't you erase those? And he goes, they'd already been erased. I wasn't going to do it again for my film.
Let's not forget about 9/11 today. And let's also keep in mind about how we talk to each other. We don't debate. We just talk at each other without listening. Got to keep an open mind. Richard Roper, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sponsored by AmericanEagle.com, web design development and digital marketing agency.